And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Be seated. There are lots of things that can interrupt the flow of the things we do on a Sunday morning. All the sudden kind of things, you know these sorts of things. A baby or a toddler lets loose in a way that no pacifier or bag of Cheerios can stop. Someone drops a hymnal and everyone turns to glare. Your cell phone rings. And then to make it even more embarrassing, your ringtone is Baby Got Back. Or some other tune not found in the hymnal. Some siblings decide to act out the Sunday school lesson they learned that day about Jacob and Esau wrestling together in the womb. And someone who, because he has bad hearing, thinks he's whispering, but actually is not, says to his wife, "Who is that making all that noise?" Actually happened. Richard Pierce Rulin, sitting right about there 5 or 6 years ago, if you remember him. Someone passes out and you have to wait for the EMTs to arrive. Smells from the kitchen invade the sanctuary. A dish gets dropped with a clang. A squirrel makes its way into the back of the nave. Hasn't happened here, but did happen on 2 occasions at a previous congregation. All these things that can happen. A band called the Confederate Railroad has a song. I won't mention its name. It's a song about an interruption that happened once at the Horn Lake, Mississippi Missionary Baptist Church. You can look it up, but I'll just tell you now, it caused quite a stir. All these interruptions. You may have been responsible for some of those things. You may have been annoyed by some of them. I suppose I have. And if you have not been responsible, but been annoyed by them, well, tisk, tisk on us. And why? Because Christmas. Because the Word became flesh. Which, while it means a lot of things, while it means that God became a human person in Jesus, it means God is all about the fleshy stuff. It means we're not just doing Christmas wrong, but Christianity wrong. If we get annoyed by those little interruptions, those little tastes of real life interrupting what we do here. For Christmas is nothing if it's not God interrupting, interrupto, breaking in, and becoming part of fleshly real life. That reading from the first chapter of John is a strange one. There's some highfalutin talk in there. I think there's probably good reason that Luke 2 is saved for Christmas Eve and John 1 for Christmas Day. Different kind of crowds. Maybe the Christmas Eve crowd couldn't handle the highfalutin stuff of John. But here it is for us, the Word of God. The Word of God, what's going on in God's head, the mind of God, what God is thinking at all times, becomes flesh. What an odd thing to think about. I don't know if this is entirely helpful, and it's only an analogy, but it's something I think of ever since I saw the movie Inside Out, animated movie, Disney. You've seen this? Maybe some of you have. I'll explain it if you haven't. It's about this little girl. I don't know how old she is, maybe 11, 12, 13 years old. Her name's Riley. And she's got all the emotions of any girl, young person, their age, going on inside of her. 5 emotions in particular, joy and fear and anger and disgust and sadness. And why the movie is called Inside Out, what makes it so interesting is when they cut away from what Riley is doing in the outside world to the inside of her head, they have these 5 emotions portrayed like in a control room, each as 1 individual character. So joy incarnate is a character inside Riley's head, as is fear and anger. You might think to yourself, if there's a person out there who was disgust incarnate, who would that be? I'm sure they're not here. Well, again, I'm not sure it's entirely helpful, But the way I think of that in terms of the Word became flesh is to think of the Word of God, to think of the mind of God, if everything that God is, in the same way maybe an emotion is portrayed as an individual, if everything that God is, if all the grace and all the truth and all the love and all the beauty and all the justice of God were to become a person, who would that person be? Answer, Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Everything that God is, interrupting everything that we are. I'm sure I've told this story before, but I think it's a good one, so every 3 or 4 years I recycle it. And it's what I come back to when I think of the love, joy, truth, justice of God, all that, all of God coming into the flesh. When I think of everything that God is coming into everything, the fleshiest of the stuff that we are. It was my first pastoral visit, 2003, I guess. Fresh out of seminary, I've probably been ordained less than a week up at Trinity Lutheran Church in Ashaway, Rhode Island. I'd met Shirley probably at my ordination the week before. Very sweet lady, guessing in her 60s. Her husband, Don, was not there because Don was in the hospital. So Shirley asked me to go visit Don, which of course I did, because I had been prepared to do that by years of study and formation in the seminary. So I went. I got my pastoral care companion, little book, marked the page with a red ribbon on ministering to the sick. I chose the perfect scripture lesson. And not just a scripture lesson for the devotion, I chose a hymn because I figured everyone wants to sing in the hospital. And I looked the part, brand new clergy shirt on. It was dark black, had not yet begun to fade like most of the ones I have now. Probably had not yet ironed out all the folds from a new shirt. You know how that goes. So I get to the hospital. I check in. I get my visitor's badge. I march up to the room. I check in at the nurse's station. I make my way down to where Don's room is, and I knock on the door. No answer. So I knock again. That was the sound that came from inside, which I heard as, "Welcome, Pastor." So I go in. I'd never met this man, but there he is sitting on the edge of his bed. I say, "Hi, Don, the Lord be with you." I thought about saying it in Latin, but that had been too much. So, "The Lord be with you, Don. I am Pastor Mayton. How are you?" Don pauses for about half a second. He looks me up and down, and he says, "Well, I just pooped my pants." And he didn't say pooped. Now, it would have been quite something if Don had planned that just for me, that very moment, to mess himself as I walked into the room. I don't think he was that wise, although he was a wise man, but it still wasn't coincidence. God had planned for me to walk in at that very moment when Don had pooped his pants to teach a lesson. To teach me a lesson that it's not always a nicely worded prayer or an aptly chosen psalm that a person needs. In that case, Don needed someone just to clean him up. But God planned that to teach us all a lesson of what it means that God became flesh. It means that God didn't come to be present with us in our highly sanctified and sanitized places like churches, but to come to be with us at our smelliest and our dirtiest. I didn't mention what Don's room smelled like when I walked in, but you could guess that it wasn't too pleasant. And by a little bit of imagination, you could probably guess that it smelled probably a lot like the place where our Savior was born in the manger with all those animals. No, God didn't come to be with us in our highly sanctified and sanitized places, or even in our spiritual places, for that matter, at least not as most people understand the word spiritual. You've probably heard the phrase that people throw around. I think they still throw it around anyways. Maybe it's passe by now to say, "I'm spiritual but not religious." I heard the phrase. I'm not exactly sure what it means. Maybe it means of someone who doesn't really attend a place like this but wants you to know that they still think about big, important things, and so they're not shallow. They're spiritual, but they're not religious. But I wonder if people who are wont to say that, especially maybe people who did have an association with a church, maybe one like ours, if what the reason they are no longer part of that group of people and say they're spiritual but not religious is because the group of people with whom they worshiped the Lord were just a little too spiritual. Because they were part of a group of people that was only spiritual. Because they were part of a church where they could only talk about God touching the parts of their lives that were highly sanctified and sanitized, but definitely not fleshy. I wonder if one of the reasons people might leave a church or something we could do better is because the church has nothing to say to them where they really live. In the flesh, and the smells, and the blood, and the sweat, and the tears, and other bodily excretions, and all the stuff. Good, the bad, and the ugly, especially the stuff that's ugly. And if that's the case, well, then we need more Christmas. What we need is more reminders of God interrupting us in our fleshiness. In fact, that might be a good response next time someone, if they hear say the phrase, "Oh, I'm spiritual but not religious," you might respond, "I'm not spiritual or religious. Me and God, we're all about flesh. I'm worldly. I'm fleshly, but not religious. I'm a strange bundle of emotions and wants and smells and tastes, which is why I love Jesus, which is why I love Christmas, because Christmas is when God became flesh so he could love me in all my fleshiness, because Christmas is God coming to be close to all the parts of my life, even the parts of my life that I don't want to be close to. Because the word become flesh means all that God is, the love of God, the grace of God, the truth of God, the forgiveness of God, the justice of God. The word became flesh means that all that God is cannot but be for all of me and you. It would now be a good time for someone's cell phone to ring. Could you pinch Scotty Joe? If she were to scream right now, that'd be good. Anybody want to yell at somebody? Pass out? No? Nothing? Okay. Well, then just Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.